What is happening? Welcome to another episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and oh my gosh, the window is open because the breeze is coming. The nice, lovely sunshine is just trying to escape through the clouds as spring training is coming near. And who is the person that I need to talk to about just what's going on? It's Eno Saris.
Who could it be? You know, I found it very difficult to be in New York City in March watching spring training because in my head from growing up in the South, I thought March is spring. But in New York City, March is not spring.
It is not. No. I really do feel like also these days there is no spring.
Kind of jumps into summer.
Winter in summer. I've just clamped and demanded more time. Yes, today we're going to talk about spring training because it starts on Friday. We're recording this on Wednesday, February 18th. And oh my God, I can't believe we're already here. You're wondering, Nick, where are your rankings? Don't worry. By the time you're listening to this, I believe they should be out finally. And it's a lot, of course. But we're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the things that we're excited to see in spring training among teams. And that really goes into a couple buckets of one, who's in the rotation, like who's going to win this battle, who are guys that we want to win the battle, who are guys that we're not really interested to win the battle, two, who are the young arms that might get us really excited and stand out and actually be someone that we know a lot about. We've already seen videos of Carlos Lejarne. I know it's Lagrange, but it's Grahane. It's closer than Lagrange. It's not ZZ Top. Okay. Even though
you did put that ZZ Top song over.
That's I put it underneath the thing, my video of him, because I couldn't resist it. But things like that. Like I didn't know about him until like 2 weeks ago. And of course, also getting first looks of certain pitchers like the guys from the KBO or NPB coming in and seeing how they adapt. With some new pitches maybe also being added in, all these little extra elements. But really, at the end of the day, who's in the rotation? Are they healthy? Is there anything new with velocity, right? And so we're going to go through very quickly. We're going to speed run this episode, aren't we, you know? Right?
We're going to try.
We're going to try.
I promise the people.
Here we go.
We can do this. Okay, I'm going to go through.
Micro Machine Voices. By division.
And here we go. So, Toronto Blue Jays. I think the real main thing here is Cody Ponce is going to be the number five as of right now. Yes, you have Gausman, you have Cease, you have Savage. I don't really expect to see much difference there. What is Cody Ponce going to look like? We saw 95, 96 in the KBO with like a cutter / slider and a kick change. Do you have anything else there on Cody Ponce and the Blue Jays?
Shane Bieber might miss opening day. If he misses opening day, does that mean Berríos is in or is Berríos himself hurt? Is Lauer in? Ricky Tiedemann is there. It may just be a temporary gig until Bieber comes in 2 weeks later. I don't know exactly how that's going to go down. The other thing that is interesting to me is that Treya Savage has a new curveball. I am interested in something that has wiggle.
That's interesting because he is like 62 degrees on his arm angle. So
anything
something that
sideways,
that top right quadrant of pitch movement is pretty cool. And it does make sense that you have that giant arm angle. It does come with a curveball because you don't really need to change your anything with your arm more. You just kind of like slightly tilt it over. Just want to make sure you cast it out. So that's actually does sound like it would be a good addition in the days of curveballs not being a really a major thing. But yeah, the Blue Jays,
by the way,
interesting.
Yeah. If I had to choose, I think it's going to be Berríos because they don't want to DFA him. He's still there, you know. And so I think Berríos might just stumble his way to 150 innings again somehow.
I mean, Berríos actually still does really well with his curveball against righties. And the sinker gets inside to righties. And that is a PLV darling. Had a near 20% swing strike rate against righties last year. It's too plain at 82, 83. It's just really bad against lefties all of a sudden. And there's nothing against lefties. So if there is going to be a renaissance for Jose Berríos, which could happen because opportunity is there, it would be figuring out lefties again. We're going to move on from the Jays. And we're going to go now to the Baltimore Orioles, where Trevor Rogers, Kyle Bradish, Chris Bassett is here. Shane Boz, Zach Eflin, and Dean Kramer. Do you think this is going to be a sixth man? Because it does very much seem like Tyler Wells is number seven and definitely pushed out. It does seem like that with Chris Bassett.
Yeah, the reason you don't do a six, there's two reasons you don't do a six-man traditionally. One is that you have really good first or second pitchers, because if you do a six-man, you're taking away starts from your ace and your second-best pitcher. I think this is such an even rotation. Yes, Bradish is probably their best starter, but he himself has said he's on an innings limit. So, you know, you're not really taking away innings number 170 through 180 from Kyle Bradish if you go to a six-man rotation. So, you know, given the people they've got, the other thing that makes sense, I guess, is that Kramer still has an option. I just think that would be kind of cruel for a guy who has put up, you know, so many innings in the last 4 years. I'm trying to guess what that is. It's like 600 innings in the last 4 years. That doesn't seem like a guy you send down. So unless there's an injury, I'm going to guess this is a six man. That reduces everyone's chances of having two starts per week. It reduces everyone's innings top end by a little bit. But I think in this case, you want Bradish to be healthy. You want to get as much use out of him as you can. Rogers himself has had injury issues. Boz, you know, coming off Tommy John 2 years ago. I think you go to a six man in this situation.
Yeah, it does make a lot of sense. I would say that I'm most interested to see kind of Boz and Eflin. Eflin, after the back surgery, I think is actually very sneaky good, because he's really wrestled with that for many years. And as long as he's just having a normal spring training, everything's fine. I would say that's a plus in my book. And I'm curious if Boz has any sort of tweaks that the Orioles have given him in some fashion. Really interesting to hear that maybe the Orioles are actually going to push the cutter, which is the antithesis of what we got with Dylan Bundy back in the day. So,
It's a new day. It's a new regime. Boz's slider just ended up middle all the time.
So bad.
Yeah, so bad. I'm just wondering, like, could they actually fix that?
You know,
I don't know how. I don't know what. Or just replace it with a sweeper. So they still have a slider that just doesn't hit the hard anymore. Just sweeps past it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right, yeah. The home park obviously being different could be a big benefit. And also, he would throw like four sliders in a game and one of them would be a home run. And I'm like, why are you even trying for four times then?
Maybe he just gets rid of it. I mean, he's on my sleeper list, Boz. Yeah. And so this is a good team. I'm fully prepared to be wrong about Rogers again. I just want to point out career 4 ERA with a 130 whip. I don't, I'm not wrong, you know, in the long-term vision.
Right. I mean, it was the year of the Swatch last year. I think that's one of the hardest things that we're dealing with is Swatches being southpaws with a tight changeup. Okay, are these lower velocity lefties with those great changeups still going to be as effective in a second season? I have to think the league is going to adjust in some fashion there.
We got to be quicker. Let's go. Next.
Yeah, okay, going to the Rays. Drew Rasmussen, Ryan Pepiot, Shane McClanahan, Nick Martinez, and Steven Matz. So no Joe Boyle? Is Steven Matz actually in this rotation? And is Shane McClanahan healthy? I mean, those are things I'm focused on.
I think between Matz, McClanahan, and Martinez, there's a high chance that something goes wrong in the spring. He's hadn't been the picture of health, and then he's stretching back out. You know, will it look as good? McClanahan, obviously, so many health issues. So if I'm going to give, also, I did the math, 6th through 7th starters combined get about 150 innings on the season. So I would guesstimate, you know, for Boyle, even in a average season, which I doubt the Rays will have an average season. And I look at this team, I say, you know, this is above average health risk in the back end. In an average season, Boyle would get about 100 innings and Ian Seymour would get about 50. And I'm going to guess, I'm going to take the over, maybe the slide over on both.
Now, don't forget, Yoenis Gomez is also here as long relief, and they acquired him from the White Sox, and he made some impression last year. Good breaking balls. With that, there is some possibility he doesn't have any options as well. So he's
going to make the team,
but he could be involved with that as well.
And Boyle could transition to closer any year. I don't think it'll happen with the Rays. I think they'll give him one more try at least.
And look, if McShane is there and just gets the volume that you're looking for, I guess, in the spring, are you in on McClanahan?
in like waiver wire leagues and stuff. It's right now the people are drafting in what normally is draft and hold season, where you don't get to go to the waiver wire.
Sure.
And it's just hard for me to pick injury risks now, but my taste for injury goes up a little bit.
In waiver wire leagues completely. I mean, this is my big argument about Tyler Glasnow, is I feel in 12 teamers, you should get him because the production you get when starting is so good. And the replacement value is not nearly as low as people think it is for that spot. But yeah, different in your draft and holds, of course. We have the Red Sox, because we're going fast here. Okay, guys?
No, okay, Red Sox, here we go.
I'm so interested to see if Johan Oviedo can throw strikes. And it doesn't seem as though it's Patrick Sandoval season anymore, because you got Ranger Suarez and Sonny Gray with Brian Bello sticking around. It is interesting to see if they are going to go with Oviedo. Is it going to be Sandoval? Is it going to be Cutter Crawford? There's Connelly Early and Peyton Tolley. And I'm thinking it will be Oviedo at this time.
Yeah, I don't understand the Patrick Sandoval situation because, you know, I guess they could slow walk him and have him on the IL, but he missed all of last year and a lot of 2024. So he should theoretically be ready to go. You know, you don't have options on a guy like that. So I wonder if this is a secret IL stash situation where they're happy to have him because he's going to be an extra starter on the IL for them. Mm-hmm. They traded for Oviedo. He does have an option. So I do, but they traded for him in a way that makes me think, okay, he's the five. And right. Then Cutter Crawford's coming off multiple injuries and has been in the pen before. I could see him just starting the transition to the pen. I don't see an easy answer here. Oviedo's command will matter. And
yeah, that's
his
it.
Secondaries completely. Will matter, you know, because his secondaries aren't great in terms of stuff. So he needs to be able to command them.
Well, the thing is, though, he has elite extension, like 7.5 feet of extension. And when you combine that with the four seamer that is elite flatness as well and has above average vert, it's ridiculous. It's just, hey, can you establish that? If you can, then all of a sudden secondaries get better because now they have to respect the fastball so much, right? Regardless,
I don't know why they tried so hard to bury Tolley in Early. I mean, Early looks so polished.
He's so good.
I would have just so given good. Him the five slot. So maybe they think with Oviedo's fastball, like he could be a good transition to the bullpen if it doesn't work right away, because that's a great fastball. It's a really interesting shape with regard to it's a surprising amount of ride given. It's actually dead zone in terms of IVB alone.
Oh, really?
But when it's a 15-inch IVB.
Oh, right. But the low arm angle
makes
it better than expected.
10 degrees lower than the average arm angle. So it's a surprising fastball that he did, recovering from TJ. The other thing that's interesting to me, Bello is bringing back the curveball. I just bring that because I just want some whiffs. And, I think, curveballs sometimes have reverse platoon splits and he struggled to whiff lefties. If he can get lefty whiff rates up to where his righty whiff rates are, he'd have a 19-20% strikeout rate this year. That's actually up for him.
Back in the day, Bello had the changeup that was working against lefties, and hopefully we can get back to that. And right, as you said, curveballs typically are the reverse platoon split. They are the pitch that turns into the breaking ball against opposite-handed batters often, as opposed to the slider, sweeper, definitely the sweeper. So I am curious about that one.
But Tolley and Early just got hit hard. I mean, those were people's favorite sleepers before they made all their
moves. Well, I mean, Early to me, as you mentioned, completely polished, big arsenal, and just above average across the board. I think five of his six pitches had well above average PLVs, which is insane.
That's why I think Cutter might go to the bullpen, because you just look at this depth chart and you're like, okay, Sandoval on the IL, Tolley and Early in the minors. You know, what do you do with Cutter?
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on to the Yankees now. As I hinted at before, there are some exciting prospects. There's Carlos Lejarre. Oh, no, I can't do it. Lagrange. I know that's wrong.
And what was the other guy? Edward Cruz?
Elmer Rodriguez Cruz is more polished. So
he's probably ahead, right?
More just overpowering 102 mile per hour pitches with 93 mile per hour changeups and 90 mile per hour cutters. It's insane.
They look beautiful in your video. But and Cruz, I don't think they see the major leagues this year because you've got Luis Gil.
Well, you're like right.
Seventh or something, or eighth, and then Schmidt coming back at eighth.
So essentially, it's a really interesting situation because you have five locked in. Aaron Boone has already said Max Fried, Schlittler, Warren, Weathers, Gil. That is their rotation. They also got their Rule 5 pick, Cade Winquest, who, if there is anything that's wrong with this out of camp, it's Winquest. I mean, they have your boy Bedeau, they have Blackburn, they have Ryan Yarbrough, technically, but like it's Winquest who's in the long relief in the pull bin right now. But I mean, here's the thing. Every team goes through like 11 starters a year or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And you're going to see at some point they need some help. It would be Elmer Rodriguez Cruz. I still think that Carlos is not going to come up this year. I think it's just this really exciting thing that maybe they use him as a closer in the short term. Maybe it's one of those reliever to starter kind of situations like Jonathan Loaisiga almost, and maybe even back. I don't know.
So Heels in the minor leagues to start the season?
No. He's the number five.
Wait. Fried. Oh, because no Rodon or Cole. So Fried, Schlittler, yes. Warren, Weathers, Gil. All right. So Gil is the guy that loses his job to Rodon or Cole.
Right. Or it could be Will Warren. Or it could be an injured Ryan Weathers.
Or an injury to somebody else. Weathers, by the way, is 98.5 in camp. He topped out at 97.7. But some of these insights, by the way, come courtesy AI. But in a cool way, Jason Collette has taken AI to Jeff Zimmerman's Mining the News column and created a notebook that's sort of a summary, a pitch shape change and arsenal change summary notebook that has been invaluable to me. The Bayo curve was off of that. Weathers 98.5 is off of that. I don't know. Weathers 98.5 just makes me more nervous. I mean, this is a guy who had a forearm strain last year, and forearm strains are precursors to Tommy John. So,
yeah, I will say this. He's not going. I mean, I think about in 12 teamers and your daily leagues and all that kind of thing. Weathers is my favorite guy to go for later in drafts because it's not, I don't need this to work out. I don't need this for the entire season. And that is your
bad draft and hold, great 12 team with waivers. Yeah,
absolutely. By the way, what you mentioned with Jason Collette's AI notebook, that was a PitchCon presentation. If you don't know, all of the PitchCon panels from this year are on YouTube right now. We also have a podcast called PitchCon Audio. It's in Pitcherless Library. It is all of the presentations from previous years that are evergreen and this year's all in podcast form as well. So that's your preferred way to ingest stuff. Go listen to it there. Collette shared his notebook, how you can create it, use AI ethically for fantasy baseball. Read the article. Okay,
20 minutes in, five teams. Let's go.
I know. I'm trying to, Okay.
Go.
All right. So we are going to talk about now the AL Central. And before we do, we're going to take a quick break. Cleveland Guardians. It does seem like Parker Messick is the one that's going to be out of this rotation. And maybe it's a battle between him and Logan
it's Allen. Logan Allen, because Logan Allen is bad and has options.
Logan Allen is one option, but he also has more experience in the majors.
Yeah, but he's not good. It's not good.
I understand this.
Pitched well, and there's nothing that really speaks to him in terms of plays.
I agree with you. Yeah. I also know that I've been upset many, many years
by decisions like this
year. And it's this other guy who's like, well, yeah, I've been here. I'm 27-20. Don't send me back to the minors. Like, maybe do this. He's a big lead. Let's prove he can stay, So look, every time there's always something that breaks at some point, and Parker Messick will be that guy that steps in. But there really isn't too much that I'm going to be focused on. Maybe Tanner Bibee to see if there's really anything to fix last year. Maybe Gavin Williams, maybe there's a new journey for him to start.
Bibee had a great September when he started pitching off of the slider cutter thing, and really turfed his sinker and changeup usage and just became, kind of a backwards pitcher. I'd expect that to continue, but maybe there's a tweak there. You're right. Gavin Williams is tweaking some of his mechanics per the notebook. If that makes him healthier, I'm happy with that.
I love it. Yes, according to Ryan Gosling. We have the Royals, Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, Chris Boone.
Notebook.
Logo. And Nathan. What was that? And Noah Cameron.
The Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, there you go. I was waiting for you to get that. Oh my God. So we have two injured lefties. I mean, Reagan's not necessarily, because he came back at the end of the year, looked amazing, and we just hope everything's fine there. Chris Bubich has reported that he is fine, and he had a normal offseason, and he has expected to have a normal spring, has already thrown with them. It feels great.
You're looking for health here. I mean,
side, but seems like such a good play at his current price.
Who's that?
Chris Bubich.
Yes. Actually, I agree.
Oh, beautiful.
It's not my type. It's not my type. I've been wrong on types like this, but I'm fine with reduced price. I think that health is just what you're watching here. I don't think that you're watching with bated breath either, because I'm not that big of a Burgert fan. And Kolek, I think they're just good depth pieces. I think that's why they went and got them. But Burgert would be the first to step in. I guess what I'm looking from him is maybe something beyond the slider and the fastball. He's sort of two pitcher right now.
So here's the thing. There's still, I know I've made it a meme, but Bailey Falter is the long reliever.
Oust!
And he has zero options.
I mean, he'll maybe make it as the long reliever.
Yeah,
but they also have Alex Lange. Teams have
weirder things, all right? Instead of moving the guy from the minors, maybe they want him to work on X, Y, and Z. They just move Bailey Falter into it. I don't know. But I wouldn't be focusing on any of them. I think Burgert had that fortunate moment, but I don't think that is going to be as successful this year. It's just, there isn't enough, really, for me to lean into it. Moving on to the Tigers, this is a very interesting situation because suddenly, after the Tigers didn't really have many options and they lost Reese Olson, they now have Tarek Skubal with Framber Valdez and Justin Verlander. That means that Flaherty and Mize round out a five-man, and you can't really go to a six because it's Skubal. I'm waiting for a team to finally do a six-man where their ace acts as a five-man. Okay? I know that sounds ridiculous, but it doesn't. It doesn't, because you could just have one guy go on the normal thing and then everyone else just gets pushed a little bit, and that's fine.
The Dodgers have done weird things like that. It's not impossible. You just have to have someone really game it out and figure out the schedule.
Yeah, it's just an extra day just gets pushed.
Well, Framber is good enough, too, that you don't really want to.
Yeah, but Framber, right, you wouldn't do that. Exactly. And I think you have Drew Anderson, who they kind of brought in from the KBO. I don't really think he's going to push it away, but I don't think he's terrible. And of course, everyone loves Troy Melton. I've been saying this has been the selling of Troy because he's just not going to be in that rotation to start the year. And eventually, Sawyer Gibson Long. Eventually.
One thing that bothers me about this is that Justin Verlander is a little bit like Buster Posey in San Francisco. He seems unfireable in Detroit. I mean, he's come back to the team that drafted him. And, you know, what if he has a 4.7 ERA? I just feel like they'll just be like, well, he's going to tweak something in the changeup. And
he would give up. He would give up. I feel like this is like the Max Scherzer rule of like, they won't let themselves, be bad and ruin their career and go out like this or something. They'll be like, okay, no, I can't do this.
Yeah. Right? I mean, he could also just be like, oh, my finger hurts or whatever. But
yeah, right.
There's some injury risk in Jack Flaherty that's, I think, a little bit unrepresented by the market. And the Casey Mize has had major injury history. So I still think Troy Melton, and I said, the numbers say that Troy Melton should get nearly 100 innings. So he's not a terrible dynasty hold. He's not a terrible even dynasty acquisition, I don't think. But for this season, I would have projected 140 innings for him, and I'm down to 90 to 100 innings for him now.
Sure. I would you say that he is the next call, or would that be Drew Anderson? Would that be?
I think Drew Anderson with the contract is going to be on the roster. So if there's like this guy's missing one start, he's having a baby or something, then Drew Anderson steps in. But if it's like this guy's going to the IL, then I think they'd rather have someone who's stretched out.
Okay. It might be also if it's like a 2-week thing, though, they think they're going to be back. They don't want to bring up Troy Melton to then send him back
down. Montero.
So it could be, Kendir Montero, exactly. And no time added. No. But yeah, I am curious to see Drew Anderson, just see how he looks. And the hopefully, Framber Valdez likes his catcher. we have the Minnesota
Rangers. The Twins.
The Twins is a really interesting one to me because you have no Pablo Lopez now, and Joe Ryan, Bailey Ober, Simeon Woods-Richardson, Taj Bradley, Zebby Matthews. There's also Mick Abel. this is all of a sudden a really decimated rotation. I'm very curious to see Bailey Ober to see if his velocity is back. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see if Simeon Woods Richardson continues to lean into the splitter really effectively as he did at the end of last season. And he actually was a far better pitcher when he started to throw the splitter. I know it's crazy I'm saying this. Can Zebby Matthews control inside the zone effectively? Like, he has a high control, but it's not command of actually throwing where he needs to execute well. Is Mick Abel going to force the hand over Taj Bradley? This is a really interesting situation, you know.
Yeah, I mean, with Richardson has now 240 innings over 2 years where he's beaten his peripherals. He has a 4.5 Sierra over those 2 years. He has a below average K minus BB. Stuff doesn't like him. He's been a model beater so far. And when I say model beater, a mild model beater. I mean, his ERA over that time frame is like a 4.10 against a 4.50 Sierra. So not a huge model beater, but that's why all his projections are basically for the 4.5 to 4.6 ERA. For Simeon's Richardson. I don't even know, though, if he pitches to like a 4-4 or 4-5, I don't know that he loses his job due to competence, you know, because of where they might be in the win cycle, what they might be doing. However, they have a new owner who purports to want to win now, and and a general manager who talked to him a couple times and left. And so I wonder if this new owner is going to be like, man, this guy sucks. Get him out of here. I want to see Mick Abel. You know, it's totally, it's plausible. I mean, it's not how I would necessarily run the team, but there's also a team that's sort of always been like, okay, even when they were bad last year, 70 and 92, do they have the stomach to be a 100+ loss team for multiple years, especially when they seem to have like some interesting, like Kieschel and, you know, Brooks Lee and some interesting young guys. So I think they're just going to muddle along. And, you know, Woods Richardson and Bradley are two guys that I'm like, if they are good pitchers, they should pitch well. And they haven't yet.
Yeah. There's also Connor Prelip, who I should mention. I kind of treat as SP7 right now because David Fest is still recovering. He had thoracic outlet syndrome. Or mild form of it is what they're saying. And it's still unclear what the status is of David Festa. And Connor Prelip, if you don't know him, he's 25, just pitched in AAA. He is a legit swatch, right? It's 94, 95, changeup guy from the left side, a really filthy 86, 87 mile per hour slider.
Looks like he struggled with ABS.
That's interesting. But I would say that he would get an opportunity, and he could even, you know, this is the case where Mick Abel and Prelip are both going to be there at camp. And if Prelip's just looking amazing, he might get the inside step on Abel all of a sudden, right? We don't really know how this is going to come together. So
Abel or Prelip is in.
Yeah, right. So I would definitely be aware of Connor there. And Mick Abel, if you don't know him, I think he has excellent command every time I've seen him. It could be something that is in and out, though. But fastball, flat, upstairs, loves to do it, 96 plus at times, like 96, 97. Has a low 28 degree arm angle. That's why it's very flat. And then he has a 2.82 mile per hour, 83 mile per hour curveball as well. It does need a little polish with like slider command and changeup and whatnot. But I do see like a mini Aaron Nola in this with Mick Abel. And
it could be really nice. I mean, the model likes him. The Stuff Plus model on revision liked Zebby a little bit less. I was surprised to see that, but it does not like Mick Abel any less. It says the sweeper and curve are elite. The fastball and slider are the fastball is above average. The slider is around average, and the sinker he actually locates pretty well.
Yeah,
Looks above average. The locations, you're right, on the slider and the sweeper are pretty poor. So his breaking ball command is what needs a little bit of lift. But, you know, these pitchers don't throw the breaking ball as much in the bullpens. And so sometimes breaking ball command is just something that comes with more game experience.
Right. Yeah. So definitely pay attention to the Twins. I think there's a lot of moving parts there. Now, you did mention, of course, the wins might not be there. So if that's what you're looking for, you might not find that value in Minnesota. Speaking of wins, Chicago White Sox are here. And they were making the most moves, I feel like, this offseason. It was pretty fun just seeing them get this random guy. It's like, whatever, come on down. And
Anthony Kay.
Anthony Kay, right? Eric Fede. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, right. Welcome.
Shane Smith, Davis Martin, Sean Burke. There really isn't anything I'm focused on. Is there anything that you are?
I don't like anything here. I just on Rates and Barrels today took apart the fact that Shane Smith's fastballs aren't even as good as maybe people think they are. And then the secondaries, he never developed a good secondary. So I don't have anything to put my hands on here. What I'm excited about is that this team is moving towards being competitive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the closer they get to being competitive, the more likely they are, I think, to cycle through some of these guys. Because Shane Smith, Davis Martin, some of these guys are Rule 5 acquisitions, waiver acquisitions, they're surprises. And when you're rebuilding, you're like, oh, look at this. I found a league average starting pitcher. But at some point, you're like, no, we need to be better than this. These guys aren't good enough. We're going to go to Tanner McDougal, Drew Thorpe, Noah Schultz. Who's the Hagen Smith? Those guys are more exciting to me. Almost all of them. To me, Tanner McDougal and Noah Schultz, or Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith, those guys are more exciting to me than any of the starting pitchers they have right now.
And I do want to remind everybody, one of the things last year was, I believe we did talk about it, was Shane Smith, Rule 5 pick. Hey, hold on a second. He's throwing harder. He might actually be a guy with this White Sox team. And then what do you know? He took advantage of that. Guess what? They have another Rule 5 pick this year. Dixon Paez, who was a command artist with a sinker before he developed excellent secondaries, and then he had a calf injury that returned worse results in 2025. But if he's healthy now, at least right now he's in long relief, but we might be seeing him banging on the door being like, yo, I need to get in there as a starter during camp.
Tiny walk rates, really nice strikeout rates in the minors. Fangraphs put a 55 present, 70 future command on him, but they also put a 30 on the fastball. So that's that'll be interesting. If only you could smush him together with Shane Smith, you might have something going.
Right.
But like somebody like a Fetty or Kay, like it may not work out. Like Fetty, you know, he's that close to being out of the league, just honestly.
Yeah. Also, the White Sox have a lot of pitchers in the minors. I mean, Christian Opor, Tanner McDougal has a massive, big fastball. Obviously, Hagen Smith, you might have heard of, and Noah Schultz. They also just got David Sandlin, who is not the worst replacement pitcher. You also have Tyler Schweitzer. He's a lefty, tight changeup, swatch guy, 92, 93 cut fastball. It's very interesting that they actually have all these options, and you might see throughout the year, these random guys show up. They're like, hey, that guy's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, this is okay. So keep an eye on the White Sox and you'll get a good look at them throughout spring training as well. We're going to go to the AL West, but before we do, we got to take a quick break. Okay. It's the Angels. And is Grayson Rodriguez healthy?
Oh, I don't know.
Right?
I don't know what to tell you. Sure, I like the move for them. They said he's in they actually said he's not in the rotation. He has to earn a spot. I think that just means he has to show he's healthy. Kikuchi, Soriano, Detmers are in. Yes. Detmers is a big sleeper for me because I think he figured out what to do against lefties. His slider is a bit of a gyro slider. He turfed all of his fastballs and pitched backwards against lefties, went to like 50% sliders against lefties. That's a weird thing to say. You normally think, why would you do that? The sliders have platoon splits, but his slider's a hard one and it worked. And he needed was to figure out something against lefties. Against righties, his fastballs aren't as bad. And he's a more traditional guy. I think he's just going to fill the lefties up with sliders. He'll get along. He'll walk some lefties. He won't be as good as he was as a reliever, obviously, but I think he'll actually make it this time as a starter.
Yeah. I'm not as convinced just because when he was a reliever, it's still, I mean, yes, he had stretches where it was good, but he also had stretches where it wasn't still. And I get excited about a reliever going back to being a starter versus, you know, even though Reed Demers was a starter before, they need to be just great as a reliever because that's when you are pitching at your peak really, you're most efficient with your stuff. You don't have to spread it out. You can throw harder. And the fact that Detmers did not showcase that throughout the entire time in relief makes me a little bit worried about it being better than that as a starter. But you know me, I have my no-hitter Reed Detmers bobblehead over here. I would absolutely love it. I'm just not going to bank on it right away. And I'm crossing my fingers that it's a better coaching staff to help these guys than what we've seen.
I mean, I would assume that they, you know, name value Rodriguez and Manoah get in, but Manoah was pretty poor last year. So there's a chance there. The door is open for Caden Dana or Aldegary or Klaassen or Kohanowicz. Kohanowicz apparently has upped his arm angle.
Yes, I read the Lance Brzozowski thing too.
The Lance Brzozowski newsletter. We don't yet know what the corresponding shapes are. If he ups the angle and all of the shapes are just changed and are the same according to the angle, then he probably won't be the greatest pitcher. But if he can find, you know, what I found with some pitchers was sometimes when they change their arm angle, their fastball shapes remains the same. That's happened with Shamania. And if he does that, where he has a higher arm angle with the same sinker, that actually might make him Clay Holmes-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, hey, Holmes would be a attainable place for Kohanowicz, right? Big sinker, good ground ball rates, bad whip, you know, okay strikeout rate. You know, that if that's in reach, that would be better than I think what Dana, Aldegary, Klaassen's the only one that I hesitate on. Maybe there's something there.
Well, I mean, with George Klaassen, I mean, he throws super hard. And it's been, I would say of the young ones, he's the only one that we're like, all right, hopefully, you know, that is like the most potential for an electric arm.
Yeah.
But I'm not really going after this stuff. With Kohanowicz, the old joke is, how do you spell Kohanowicz with one K? And the jacket's on trade. But the thing is, when Kohanowicz, I remember talking to you in San Francisco about him, I think it was 24 when we did this. I was really interested just because it was cool to see a sinker guy with command. And then he kind of lost it with the sinker a bit. And there were times when the slider was really good too. And if you can get also just a little bit of that Clay Holmes stuff as well on the secondaries, and yeah, I think that's a really good comp, because having a lively sinker generating outs isn't as common as you'd think. And we're seeing a little bit of a return to it in some cases, and it's so exciting. I love it. Okay. We're going to go to the Astros, and I'll be honest with you. I'm so excited to see what Amai does, but really there's a more interesting guy coming over from Asia, and that's Ryan Weiss.
You had him. Weiss.
I think he was my sleeper. I put out this tweet saying there's this guy who's going to get innings out of the gate, who is in my top, is outside the top 400 picks right now. He's healthy. He could go every time through the rotation. He has a good fastball. He's like a fastball sweeper guy. I am playing for a winning team. Like, Ryan Weiss to me is an ultra sleeper.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I haven't found, I don't have a reason to say you're wrong. I don't have stuff numbers for him. I don't have shape numbers for him. 29% strikeout rate against an 8% walk rate in the KBO is pretty good. But the KBO is not even NPB, you know, it's more like double A, I think. So he's a relative unknown for me. And, you know, the last time he was in America at triple A, the strikeout rate was 20%. So I don't know what to do here. If he gets in, it could be on a six man. There are reports that Lance McCullers Jr. is maybe even retiring. I mean, there's the types of things he's saying are disturbing. And then, you know, he's always had this injury history. So you got Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, Emai Burrows are your definites. Fangraphs has McCullers as the five. I doubt that very highly. It could be pretty easy to put Eric Geddy as the five, and then Weiss is not in the rotation. But given Emai coming over from Japan, could you do the sixth man? It would cost Hunter Brown, your obvious ace, some innings, but it would also make Emai more comfortable, maybe. And it's not like Eric Geddy's been the picture of health. You know,
Weiss, they're saying he's ready for the schedule. Spring. I don't know. I mean, I should have mentioned that I brushed them back that the Pasta Pirate would actually be really involved with this again. I remember Eric and I were calling him a big sleeper because everyone was forgetting about it. Then we kind of forgot about the injury, and that really added
it
that.
It could be a big spring battle, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But the thing is, I think the Astros, I mean, you see this rotation, and especially with Lance McCullers being involved too, but it's just like, all right, we want to make sure that we survive the season doing this. I think it should be a six-man rotation. And I think if you want to protect Hunter Brown after the volume he's gone through, it's the perfect thing to do. Also, you have Mike Burrows, who is not fully stretched out. The Pirates barely let him go 5+ innings last year. Mm. So it makes more sense to me to have this six man.
And on the flip side, you know, yeah, if it is an Arrigetti-Weiss battle, Arrigetti has options, and the, you know, Weiss is on a major league deal.
So yeah, he technically has two options, but that's what Roster Resource is saying. But I don't understand that if it's a free agent signing. I don't know. That's weird.
There might be some language in the contract about, you know, agreeing to be sent down. And Murakami has something like that. And when we're talking Murakami has a major league deal where they have to, you know, so technically he has options, but they have to, he has to agree to be sent down. So gotcha. I don't know. I think if it came down to that, and if there was any sign of Arrigetti struggle, they could spin it as, hey, get right in the minors and you'll be back up here in no time.
There's also Nate Pearson. Nate Pearson, I don't think, is going to be in that. And then you have Rodery Munoz, who has started before, Rule 5 pick. So it's possible that we get Munoz getting some starts in there too, but I will put out there, Christian Javier sleeper as well. I think a lot of it's weird to say all these sleepers in the Astros. There's been a lot of focus on Mike Burrows, as Cashew has appeared on the camera, my cat. And I think that Christian Javier is actually kind of cool once again. So we'll see where that goes.
The command was missing the first Javier year after surgery and was never that great for Javier, but you know.
But then he came back. He came back from injury. Now you're removed from that. He's going to go regularly. Changeup has improved. The fastball's still great. I'm really curious about it. I think there is still a lot of talent there with Christian Javier. We are going to move on to the Athletics. You know who my number one guy is on the Athletics? You wouldn't be surprised. There's no way you don't know who it is.
JT Ginn?
No. It's Jacob Lopez.
Oh, yeah. It's Jacob Lopez, of course.
Yeah. Okay. All right. He did a very weird thing. Yeah.
He had a elbow injury late last year.
Oh yeah.
So
I don't care.
One of the things we're watching for is definitely health.
Exactly. Right. So that's the focus for me is Jacob Lopez. Is, you know, Luis Severino, Jeffrey Springs, Aaron Civale is here now. Okay.
Yeah.
Luis Morales. I don't really think that Luis Morales or Luis Medina are gonna showcase either the command that they need or the stuff that they need, really, to be able to be that guy. But Jacob Lopez did have an absurd ace run for like 13 straight starts last year. And he does this weird thing of throwing four seamers out of the zone. Like, I see this a couple times with guys. Noah Cameron did this, where they have their four seamer and they throw it a decent amount, but they don't let guys hit it. They throw it purposely out of the zone to then set up everything else more effectively. Actually, a cutter for both of them. The cutter coming back over for Jacob Lopez, and then Noah Cameron going up and in with his to righties with the four seamer above the zone. It's a tightrope. It's something that if batters can figure out in any way that it doesn't work as well. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, that was like 30% strikeout rate for a bit.
I think the home park is really bad. And so,
yeah,
you know, Severino and Lopez, I might start away from home, Springs too. But that's a pretty limited use case. So I don't even know. For me, Lopez with the velo and the health and the home park, he wouldn't be one of my favorite last pitchers. And I would want to just pitch him away from home. So I see a lot of streaming here, some streaming opportunities when they're away from home. Medina is slightly interesting to me. And then JT Ginn is slightly interesting to me. But I think they're just going to win a lot of games 6-5. And it's not going to be that pretty for you, using their pitchers. Gage Jump may make it. And he's probably the best of their, Braden Nett's all right, but Gage Jump is their best prospect. Could he bully his way onto this roster? They are obviously trying to win now, trading for Jeff McNeil, signing Soderstrom and a couple of their guys to, you know, long-term deals, extensions. So they're trying to win now. On the same hand, their bullpen does not scream like trying to win now. And I still think there's going to be, they're going to try and mash their way to wins here. And I don't really want to be stuck holding one of these pitchers, I don't think.
The quote here from Eno is, the Athletics are going to win a lot of games, dot, dot, dot. Not
six. Win some games.
Yeah,
and those games will be 7-6 and 6-5.
Oh, man. Going to the Mariners, there isn't too much to watch. Just be healthy. Brian Wu, Logan Gilbert, Luis Castillo, George Kirby. Bryce Miller, we'll see if he is someone that can develop. I mean, he obviously missed some time last year. We didn't really get to see the Bryce Miller that we thought about. That we haven't really seen him take flight since his 2023 debut.
He's going really cheaply in drafts. So mm-hmm. if he is healthy and he's like showcasing stuff in the spring that you like, he would qualify as a sleeper for me.
Now, one of the bigger things about the Mariners, though, is that they don't have depth after that. It's Emerson Hancock. There's Cade Cavalli. Jonathan Diaz. Like, they don't have the thing.
Cooper Criswell, not Cade Cavalli.
Catch you for the videos poke.
However, it's Dane Dunning too, right? Randy Dobnak, Ryan Sloan, and Cade Anderson are these two super young arms that are absurdly impressive. Cade Anderson is 22 years old. Ryan Sloan is, I can't remember, but he's also very young.
Anderson was a first round draft pick last year, right?
Yes. Ryan Sloan was this year's. So It is possible that the Mariners look at this and they go, okay, hold on a second. We have two guys who are hurt now and there's no one better than these guys. And let's just do this. I believe Bryce and Brian Wu did not go to AAA.
Yeah, they've quote unquote rushed guys in the past. So not a crazy idea.
And definitely monitor both of them in the spring. And then we have the Texas Rangers around at the American League here. Is
sleeper alert.
Rahm and Eovaldi healthy?
Yeah. And will Ken Mackenzie Gore arrest his second half velocity declines? Yes. But I have a sleeper. A lot of sites have Kumar Rocker having the fifth spot. I say Jacob Latz takes the fifth spot because Kumar Rocker does not have an approach against lefties.
Yeah, well, I mean, he doesn't have
an approach. He does not have the shapes. He doesn't have the pitches.
He just doesn't have an approach, you know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know what it is. Yeah. Every game was like a different one. And then my favorite one was there was a game that Kumar Rocker threw about 50% cutters last year. I was like, yes, this is your best pitch. And then he stopped doing it. I was like, why? Why did you stop
he
doing
told this? He didn't have a great feel for the cutter, but he needs to develop that because the fastball shape is not good for lefties. So he needs a fastball against lefties. I think the breaking ball is kind of a death ball thing. I think that could work against lefties and righties, but it's still... Even if he's whatever that fastball is, it's kind of a sinker. Let's call it a sinker. Sinker, cutter, death ball. He's kind of needs even more than that, you know?
Yeah. Right. It could be a Corbin Burns situation. Just like, just throw the cutter. Just.
Jacob Latz, on the other hand, has a good four-seam, a good slider, and a good changeup. And
This is a fantastic pick from you. I mean, Jacob Latz, I compared him to Cole Reagans only in the sense of like, hey, if the velocity comes like it did with Reagan's, which is obviously like the biggest if, this is actually that kind of mold, right? And
it's not bad velocity right now. I mean, it's 94. It's not like
right. It's not like the 96, 97 that showed up all of a sudden for Reagan's. Also, the slider did over time too, but I feel like Latz should be able to get that. I am really curious in Mackenzie Gore. I actually have him in my top 50. I don't know if you do.
But I snuck him in the back end early on in my first rankings. I had him lower, upon reflection,
Texas is huge.
Yeah, the park
factor so huge. Get him out of. We would have to wait until free agency for Mackenzie Gore to get out of Nationals territory. And I love that for them. I do want to mention that Jordan Montgomery is here, and I know that sounds ridiculous, like I'm joking, but I'm not. Because 2023, Montgomery was great. He was a very productive pitcher. Gets delayed in signing. then signs with the Diamondbacks like the last week of the season or whatever it is. They, what was that? They signed Eduardo Rodriguez. He gets hurt, and then they signed Jordan Montgomery.
Yeah.
And imagine the situation for him where he just pitched an entire, like really worked himself so much for this free agency through World Series, right? Then it gets delayed. And I can imagine that his elbow didn't like any of that. So he pitches hurt for the Diamondbacks. He's laughed out of town, essentially.
He also got a short-term deal with options and stuff. So he wants to get back on the field and earn it again. Yeah,
hurts himself, ends the season, then gets Tommy John the next year. That's all we've seen of him since.
Yeah.
It's not out of the question that like Jordan Montgomery, healthy and returned and rehabbed from Tommy John, is a productive pitcher.
But the deal also gives, sometimes the market tells you something. The deal was very small. It was $1.5 million or something.
Absolutely. So
there's not a lot of teams thinking that he's going to come back to form.
That's totally fine. I mean, I think Jordan Montgomery is saying, I didn't disclose it, that I wasn't myself last time you saw me. And I don't know. I'm just going to circle him as like a pickup. Be aware of that IL movement. If you just don't have anyone in your IL spot, like, okay, fine, whatever. Consider that one. As far as other prospects, you're going to watch David Leo. Who's hopefully going to show up a bit in the spring. Jose Cornille as well, and Winston Santos. Those are all like kind of interesting prospects for the Rangers.
This is a veteran team trying to win right now, dude.
That's a good point.
Do whatever they can to avoid that one. So I think Montgomery over those guys for sure.
Yeah, great, great point.
We go to a snake pit team next.
You know, okay, we're at the 50-minute mark, and you know, it's like we're only going to get through the American League, and we're trying to speed run this.
Should we split it?
We obviously can't go through 15 teams now with the National League. Okay.
Okay.
You had notes that you prepared for this about certain guys that you want to talk about. So I'm going to let you.
We'll do National League next week. So what do I? Some of these will be the National League. Oh, Nate Eovaldi had hernia surgery.
Oh yeah.
That means he was pitching through a hernia. Yeah.
Had like a sub-2 ERA with his best curveball of his career.
And he said that he didn't do anything about it because he was pitching fine, which I mean, I saw it, but I don't normally, I would say downgrade somebody coming off surgery, but it's just correcting something that didn't bother him that much. So
I'm always this sounds weird. You know, I'm all for guys coming off of surgery later in their career when it's not like elbow, you know, because it means like, oh, hey, maybe they fixed the thing that they've been putting off.
Yeah, and he's had the velo decline, like the Gore, like the Mackenzie Gore kind of velo decline in seasons. He's had really stark first half, second half splits for the last few years. So if this just makes him finish a season, you know, I think I'd be into that.
Absolutely.
Kirby changed. He has a new pitch alert. George Kirby, new pitch alert. It happened last year.
Slider.
No. Well, yeah, he's always mucking with that slider.
I know.
He changes sinker grip to the Brian Wu sinker grip.
Oh, nice. Can you give him the command?
2 inches more drop. He got 2 inches more drop out of it in the second half. So Kirby's just a really interesting character because he's going, like, he could be a Max Fried type where he has 24% strikeout rate, but ace-like ERA. Like, that's in him. Yeah. But there's just that little bit of injury risk. You know, it's 2 straight years we've had shoulder soreness. 2 straight years. Mm. Well, this last year, it cost him time. What if it costs him even more time going forward?
And I do want to mention, doing my write-up of George Kirby, which you guys can read, finally, is that George Kirby's sinker approach is weird. He does not... Look, it is really easy, it seems, that these days to just go like, cool, guys, you have a sinker, throw it inside to same-handed batters, it works. He doesn't as much. He actually goes away a lot, but then he throws inside to lefties. He does front hip to them, but then doesn't do it but like it's very strange to me. And I think that
he's trying to freeze,
relying less on his four seamer.
I think he frees righties,
keep going down. He doesn't go as much inside on righties as you want him to.
Yeah.
And the swing rates on the four seamer are really high. It's not a good four seamer in general. It's really well commanded. So save that thing for 2 strikes more and more. I think it's all there. It's just utilizing, you know, getting the most out of it isn't quite what Kirby has done.
Maybe he just has like better glove side command than he has arm side command.
But
I mean, that was something that Zach Greinke always told me, was that pitchers have better command to one side or the other.
Yeah.
And I think he said traditionally they have better glove side command.
Yeah, I think that's true, because when you're growing up, you don't want to hit kids. You know, so you get a little bit afraid of that, so then you practice that more often.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So what other notes do you have actually on National League guys as opposed to American League guys?
Well, I have some National League guys. Yeah, I mean, just that Senga sitting 92, that's not good. Or hitting 92. Hitting 92. That is not good at all.
Oh yeah, that's a huge thing, guys. Listen to hitting versus setting. I do not care what they say about hitting, unless it's like 2 miles per hour past the previous high.
Otherwise, yeah, I mean, like Weathers is a full mile per hour over what he ever hit last year. So, you know, that's a little bit interesting.
Yeah.
But Sean Manaea has a new arm slot. It's a new old arm slot. It's a new old new arm slot, because it's a little bit more like the one where he changed to be more like Sale. And he said that he came back last year and drew up it even further to try and be even more like Sale or whatever. And he thinks he dropped it too far. So now he's trying to be more like 2024, whatever keeps him healthy. You know, I like him mostly as a home streamer. Strider fastball shape, you know, he lost 2 inches of ride on that fastball. If he gets the fastball shape back, and he also in the note, it says he wants to emphasize his secondary pitches more and de-emphasize his fastball. These are all saying the right things, I think, for me.
I mean,
I have a hard time. Yeah. The projections are iffy and the stuff was iffy, and usually the stuff comes back before command, so I'm not circling him as a big one, but you know, DVR on Rates and Barrels like Strider better than me. And
so when I talked to Adam Ottavino at PitchCon, he actually talked about Strider, and he said Strider is a guy that doesn't know how to get outs outside of a strikeout, and that's really rung, you know, like I've really listened to that one, and I think that Strider can't be anything close to what he was unless that four-seamer is overwhelming. So him saying that he wants to focus more on his secondaries is saying to me, I don't have my fastball back and I can't
do it. Yeah, I don't have the confidence in it. Yeah.
And that means that I don't want this. I don't want this. Atlanta as a whole is really interesting. I'm really curious to see how Reynaldo Lopez looks, how Grant Holmes looks, because he said he's throwing better than ever after his UCL injury. I don't know. Is he going to be Joey Wentz who gets that number five spot? Because Joey Wentz can be actually kind of cool.
Giolito?
Yeah. They said they don't have any intent to, but yeah, where is he going to go? Why isn't he signed? I don't know.
Would it be Joey Wentz because Reynaldo Lopez won't be ready for the season?
No, he will be. I'm not saying Joey Wentz
over Elder.
Bryce Elder is the number five right now.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. There's also J.R. Ritchie, who we'll get a look at. Remember how fast they pushed up Didi Fuentes and Spencer Schmalenbach? Like, it's a possibility that J.R. Ritchie takes a big leap as well. So I'm looking forward to looking at him. Anyone else in that lovely notebook that you have?
Logan Henderson.
Michael King. We're going to be paying attention to him, seeing if he's healthy and ready to go. Otherwise, the Padres as a whole are pretty iffy. Not much really with the Giants, honestly.
You're trying to do the we'll do NL next week. We're just doing
NL next week. Okay, good.
We're emptying the notes. All right.
We'll tell you what has happened, and then we'll do NL next week. And then after that, we'll do our ranking battle one more time.
There we go.
Okay, that's what we're gonna do for everybody else. We'll get out of here. Just, you know, enjoy spring training, guys. I'm going to be doing my SB roundup in Plus Pitch Podcasts starting on Saturday, because we have all Statcast data, you know.
Yes, all Statcast, every part of that. I'm excited for that. I've got to get the processes in place to be pumping out spring training stuff plus, so we can go.
We actually have new player cards too. We're going to have player cards for every game and everything like that with PLV stuff plus, and also an overall start grade, which I think is really cool. Just like a letter grade.
One thing that people should know though is that like early in the spring and early in the season, you know, a lot of these metrics are looking at the league as a whole and trying to find an average. And so you know, like for example, for opening day, all the aces start. So you may be like, oh my God, Tarik Skubal's stuff plus is down. No, it's not. He just pitched on a day where everybody was an ace and he didn't look as good compared to them. And it'll go up as other guys come in. It's some of the just the silliest stuff. Also, we're going to all overreact to stuff plus increases in spring because they're all going to be closer to their hitting velos in their first outing because they'll pitch one inning or two innings. And then their stuff plus will gradually go down as they get stretched out. So all these things, take all the breathless spring training stuff plus updates, even from me, with a grain of salt.
Yeah, it's especially me reporting velocities too and going over everything because, I mean, this is the interesting takeaway. I'm going to just leave it on this. Veterans are going to be down and you need to see young guys up. If you see young guys low, that is bad because it's a smaller sample. It's only one inning as we're talking about here. But also most young guys are fighting for a position.
Yeah. And
they don't have the luxury of these veterans who have the locked spot.
They're trying to show you the best they got.
Worse. Yeah. So if they aren't impressing, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of how you treat the velocities. And let's be honest, Eno and I reflected on pitch changes and pitch additions. And what was it, like four of them? The entire
that really made a big difference last year. Yeah.
That
doesn't
mean
we can't get excited.
Oh no, trust me, I'm going to be excited. It's just, again, the grain of salt. I'm going to be putting out tweets like, oh my gosh, this was awesome. Because I felt really great watching it and had joy, but it doesn't mean this is awesome. He is going to be great now.
Or he's gonna trust it in anything other than a spring training start.
Right. So I'm not showing you all the walks he has as well.
Yeah, that doesn't show up on the pitching ninja thing.
Yeah,
well, I mean, on the feed.
I'm very guilty of it. So guys, I just get hyped. Doesn't mean react in that way. All right. Thank you so much, Eno Saris, for being my lovely, lovely guest in this episode.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll come back next week. We'll talk more about it. But that is it for now. Go get the live draft assistant that we updated today. It is amazing for your fantasy drafts. Only with PL Pro, but that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. Man, your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.